Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Galatians, chapter number 2. The book of Galatians, chapter number 2. Begin reading in verse 20. I want to preface this. The Lord really began to deal with my heart about this sermon when we were at nursing home this past Tuesday night. Had a tremendous service, and the Lord has just been ministering at the nursing home. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the way that God is not only moving in our young people, but he's moving in our elders. And, God's not through with you, senior saints. I want you to know that. You are a vital role in this church and in the church body at large. And your age is merely giving you wisdom and direction that our young folks need. And so I hope this morning that whether we be young or older, that we'll all get help this morning. Brother Durth, do you have her picture? Would you mind to show that this morning? That lady is spunky. This is Grandma Todd. Grandma Todd. How old do you think she is? Oh, never mind, don't answer that. Grandma Todd is 96 years old. 96 years old. And I'm telling you what, she could probably outrun some of our young youth members. She's spunky. She got to testifying and a little bit of preaching Tuesday night. She's 96 years old, and she has served God for 80 years. 80 years she has served God. Woo! Brother Brian wanted to take a little lap while she was ministering. 80 years she has served the Lord. What a testimony. She's had 9 children, and her husband just passed away last year. And so now she's in the nursing facility there. But nobody has told her yet that she's supposed to be in this mold of an elderly, shut-up widow. That, you know, nobody let her know that. Because she's still ministering wherever she's at. And God really started to deal with my heart. We just came out of youth camp, and we still have Camp Dove left. But as our youth group perspective, we've just ended youth camp season, per se. And we're going to be entering into Camp Dove, so understand my preface on this. How is it that a lady who was born during the First World War has lived through the Great Depression, has experienced the greatest wars in our nation's history, has had ups and downs, did not have an Apple product. I don't even know how y'all made it. They did this stuff like imagination and played games. What's that all about? This lady has been through it. Successfully raised 9 children. 8 of them are still serving the Lord today. One of them has went home to be with the Lord. And yet she still has a fervor for God that is unquenchable. 80 years. She was a teenager when she got saved. 80 years of serving God. 80 years of a relationship that is unbreakable, Brother David. 80 years of a commitment that is unwavering, unstoppable, and undeniable. 80 years. And yet now we, as you know, we've just come out of youth camp, and I witnessed as God moved upon young person after young person, and I heard the testimony of God did this in my life, and I'm so glad I got to come to camp. And you and I have been there. I mean, we've had our youth camp seasons or seasons of revival or moments in time where we had an experience with God. But my question and the thought that really came about in my heart after hearing Sister Todd preachify a little while, how do you make it that long when so many around us cannot make it till tomorrow? Do you understand where I'm heading with this? How do you make it 80 years? I dare to question, has anybody been saved 80 years in our church today or 70 years or 60 years? Yes, amen. We've got 50 years, 40 years. How do you make it? How do you make it that long when folks today cannot even make it to tomorrow? I think it has a lot to do with the book of Galatians, chapter number 2 and verse 20. Let's stand this morning, if we would, for the reading of the word. Before I get any farther, it is great to have Brother David Sperry's family with us this morning. We appreciate you being here and your family. God bless you for being here this morning. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Let's read this together again as a congregation. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How is it when so many have an emotional encounter with God or an emotional experience, how is it that their commitment to Christ seems to be wavering all around us? I firmly believe is that they have not climbed upon the cross of Jesus Christ and willingly laid down their lives. It is a born-again experience, church, that will keep us for 5 years. Brother Brian just celebrated 14 years. We've got some that have celebrated 50 years. And if we get to live that long, 80 years. I am crucified with Christ. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, challenge us to go deeper than we've ever been before. Father, a commitment that is for life, a change that is apparent to the world around us, Father. And Lord, if there's an individual here this morning that's not saved, Lord, their sins still wrap their lives in bondage, I pray that the cross and the blood of Christ would be elevated tonight so that they would see that you are able to save to the uttermost. And God, we thank you for grace that is greater than all of our sin. Pray that our hearts would be challenged, everyone. Lord, as we leave this house this morning, may we be ever closer to you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I am crucified with Christ. Christ is living in me. Can you say amen this morning? Christ in me. I want you to know something this morning, that our commitment to Christ really begins at one place. And that is with our lives being crucified with Christ. You must be born again. I am finding more and more that there are many folks around us who have had or are literally living in a religious experience and yet have no more committed their life to Christ than the Buddhist has or the Muslim or anyone else. There are a lot of folks today who are completely committed to religion and yet have no idea that there is a God in heaven who desires to have a one-on-one relationship with them. Jesus was encountered by by a religious man. His name was Nicodemus. In the book of John chapter 3, this Pharisee comes to Jesus. He's a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2 said, he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. It's great to have perception. It's wonderful to have an acknowledgement of the truth. But notice here that Jesus did not say, Nicodemus, you're saved because you know who I am or you're able to see the things that I've done. He never one time indicated that his relationship with God would be sealed by an acknowledgement that Jesus was a greater individual than he. But Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is one thing to have an understanding of the works of God. It is one thing to have a knowledge of God. You can know the scriptures and not know God. You can know things about Jesus and yet not know him. But until we find ourselves at the place of repentance and to be born again and the experience of being born again, you and I will not see the kingdom of God. It is the experience of being born again, blood washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the experience of being born again that changes our lives for eternity and transforms us into who we never could be on our own. Hallelujah. We must be born again. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? It means the death that Christ encountered upon the cross. And it was not glorious. It was bloody. It was undesirable. But God laid down his life for you and I. Hear me this morning. Before Jesus ever gave us John 3:16, he established the law which said, you and I must be born again. But what a God that he would give us John 3:16, after he said you must be born again. This morning, if you're not a believer, I want you to know that God has made the way possible for your sins to be forgiven. Amen. Your life to be purged and purified and cleansed to have a relationship with God. Amen. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. When we are born again, the relationship between God and man that has been shattered by sin is renewed. It's fixed. The blood of Christ avails for our sins, and the sins that separated us from God, literally God bridges the gap because of the blood of Christ. Being born again is the act of the sinful nature of man being put into submission to Christ through the confession of sin and belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Amen. We just read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This belief in Jesus Christ is more than a knowledge belief. It is a belief in the heart. It is a soul belief. It is a commitment to Christ that says, Lord, it is not my will. Even Jesus prayed this. God, it is not my will, but thine be done. When I laid my life at the altar, when Christ was calling me to repentance, I understood from that day forth that my life would no longer be the same. You and I, when we have had an experience with Christ and been born again, could all agree that we have been changed not by our own works, not by our own power, but by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Upon this act of belief and repentance, the carnal nature or old man is crucified or killed so that the spiritual nature or new man can live. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said in verse 6, chapter 3. Amen. We have a carnal nature that is at enmity with God. And the inner man does not desire the things of God. But for us to be saved, we must be born again. And for us to have a genuine walk with God, this born again experience must be the foundation of our relationship with God. You see, I will never be good enough to save myself. I will never be all right enough or clean myself up enough to be all right with God. There is nothing that I can do except obeying the word of God, which is to repent of my sins, to confess that Christ is Lord, and to give him the authority of my life. We must be born again. Unless an individual has been born again, there will be no life-sustaining change. Muslims, Hindus, cults, and every religion in the world, they pray. But praying a religious, ritualistic prayer will not save you. It will not pardon your sins, and it will not change your life. This only happens when an individual understands that his or her life can no longer be their own. Just as Jesus cried in the garden to the Father, "Not my will, but thine be done," so should our hearts cry out to God. It's not about you and I. It's about being crucified with Christ. And although we do live physically, it's not us. But it's Christ that lives in us. And the life that we now live, we live by Jesus Christ. This life is no longer mine. My body is not mine. My life choices are no longer about me. When we are born again, we are made to live through Christ in us. Church, it is amazing to me how that we live in a church world today that is so unchanged from the way they used to be before church. It is amazing and appalling to me how that when young people, and I see it all the time, we cry at youth camp, we dance at youth camp, we shout at youth camp, we talk about the good feeling we got at youth camp, and in less than a few days, we are right back in the same condition spiritually that we were in before we arrived at camp. My heart cries out tonight to know why that is. But I honestly believe it is because we have had hearts that have been emotionally touched and yet not supernaturally changed. We have had hearts that have desired to feel the relief and the lack of burden of guilt and shame and yet have not committed their lives to Christ for life. Until we are committed for life, we will never see a fruitful relationship with God. We must be born again. That is the change that takes place, that transforms us from who we were to who we are today. Brother Jamie, I'm nowhere near where I'd like to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. But listen, once I've been born again, that being born again experience comes with a commitment. This commitment must be for life. It is not just a feel-good experience. It is a commitment that is lifelong and enduring. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, congregation, has your life been perfect since you got saved? Anybody? Nobody's had a... Sister Emma had a perfect life. Hey, right now that might be close to true. Amen. My life isn't perfect. Your life isn't perfect. How many folks do we have in this room this morning that are married? Raise your hand. You're married. All right. Have you all had perfect lives since the day you said I do? We know Sister Maggard and Brother Maggard. We already settled that this morning. Praise God. No, obviously we don't have perfect lives. Anybody had to pay your electric bill yet this summer? tell you what, that air conditioning is going to feel great, but next month when that bill comes, hello. All right? It's not perfect. Sister Sarah and I will have been married 4 years and just a few months. I can't even hardly believe it. The time has just flown. We have had hard times already. And things that have come into our lives since we've been married, since we said I do, since the commitment started, there have been opposition and troubles and temptations and just struggles. But does that make the commitment any less valuable? No. In fact, I dare say that any married couple or anyone that has been in relationship knows that those hard times literally are the foundation strongholds that when you make it through as a couple, you know that you're better for it than when you started. You're stronger. That commitment is bridged stronger than it ever was before. When we are committed to Christ for life, when we encounter struggles, when we encounter trials, young people, when we are up against temptation, those things are not indicative of the commitment that we have made to Christ. And if we are so quick to lay aside our commitment to Christ when struggles come and when trials come, then tell me how strong our relationship with God really is. It is one thing to shout when we feel good. It is another thing to shout when we are in the midst of the battle. It is one thing to be rejoiceful when we are in the midst of revival. It is another thing to be a worshiper when we are in the midst of trial and dry seasons. God is calling us to a commitment for life in this relationship with Him. The book of Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I love that. Jesus himself didn't leave room for sabbaticals from Christ. He said, "Pick up your cross daily." Amen. Amen. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." I want to tell you something. This is a daily walk. This is a daily relationship. You and I do not start out being married for 4 years, Sister Sarah. You're still beautiful, by the way. Amen. Sorry, she distracted me. We don't start out at 5 years, right? We start out at day one. Listen, this relationship with Christ, God never intends you to be starting out where Grandma Todd starts right now, 80 years of serving Him. He never intended us to just automatically jump to our relationship of 50 years. It is the richness of the journey that brings about the fruit of the relationship. And I will tell you this morning, if you've been saved for a day or 5 years or 13 months or whatever, 13 years, 50 years, it's a daily walk. It's a daily walk. It's a commitment for life. It's the denial of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. What if we gain the whole world and lose our souls? What if we do that? What if we say, "Today I don't want to serve the spiritual man. I want to serve my flesh," and that we lose ourselves? This commitment is for life. We are to pick up the cross of Christ, the title and the responsibility of a Christian daily. Notice that we are following after Christ. He is in charge of our lives. He is giving us direction. We cannot live if we do not lay down our lives. He said, "Take up your cross daily." It is amazing to me how that it seems that we are like in this relationship with Christ. Today's Christianity says that this is a duo team. You know, like the three-legged race. We tie ourselves together and we just go for it. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "If you come after me." take up your cross daily. That implies that he is to be the sole leader of our hearts, the sole giver of direction. He is to be the only one that leads us to heaven. Church, when I was in control, my life was messed up. Amen. Hey, is anybody else in that condition? When I was in control, I always faced destruction. But since Christ has been in control, he is leading us on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That implies to me that you and I must decrease so that he may increase. This commitment for life will lead us all the way to heaven. Thirdly, how do we get to be like Grandma Todd? I mean, we've been born again. And I believe there's a congregation here that you've been born again, committed for life. But how do you get to 80 years? I mean, is it the desire of every church to continue? Right? I mean, all of the elders that are here this morning, there were elders in the church when you joined. And their desire for you was that you would continue the work that God is doing here. Right? And now our elders and our adults, you look at this generation and I look at them and or you may be still looking at me and you're asking yourself, how are we going to continue? Who's going to pick up the slack? Who's going to be the one that's going to pray? Who's going to be the one that's going to play the instruments? Who's going to be the one to take care of the church? I mean, we've got a board here that their whole purpose in life for this church is to see that the operations and the decisions that are made are so that the church will continue. Isn't that the goal of every church? Is that so we can continue? That's my goal this morning. Is that we figure out how to continue. So that, and I honestly believe this. We always say the church of tomorrow is the youth group and all that. I don't believe that. It's the church today. How do we get today to continue to make it to tomorrow? I believe it involves, after being committed for life, answering the call to work for Christ. I'm going to close with this. The book of John, chapter 21, verse 15. Jesus again talking to Peter. He said, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto Peter, feed my lambs. Jesus saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Why are you questioning me, God? Well, maybe it had something to do with just a few days ago. You just denied him three times. But it is amazing to me the compassion of our Savior. It is amazing to me the love and the forgiveness of our Savior. You see, what's happening right here is Jesus is really causing Peter to come to a place of commitment. And as he calls him to a place of commitment, notice what he says. Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. God never intended for us to be born again and make a lifelong commitment to sit and do nothing. Never intended it to be that way. Physically, you may not be able to do what others can do. But you know what God has called us to do? You can feed the sheep by praying. You know, Sister Debbie, I appreciate what you said about God allowing your ministry to be cooking, and I believe that. I'm a very good bearing witness of the ministry of Margie McKelvey and Debbie Hoffman cooking. Amen. Maybe more so than a testimony should be. Somebody's got to do it, though. Somebody's got to feed the sheep. You know, Peter, I relate to Peter a lot. He talks before he thinks. He's boisterous, and then he gets in trouble. I feel very close to him. And Peter says, turning about, verse 20, see if the disciple whom Jesus loved following, and said, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. You're following me. You know what I love here? Jesus is already stopping drama before the church has even started. It doesn't matter who cleans the toilets next week at Camp Dove. Somebody's got to do it. It doesn't matter who picks them up on the van. Somebody's got to do it. It doesn't matter who prays for hours praying that God would come by. Somebody's got to do it. God never intended us to sit and be silent in the church. He called us to be born again, a changed life, committed for life, so that we can do something for Him, so that we can answer the call to work for Christ. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Young people, this is why Pastor has so stressed to us over the years of being involved in any ministry available. Because if we get in the habit of serving others, we will lose the habit of serving ourselves. I'll say that again, church. If we get in the habit of serving others, we will lose the habit of serving ourselves. Amen. Music, would you come this morning? We'll close. No matter what our age, you and I are called. No matter what the time of relationship or how long we've been in this or our background, we're called to serve the world around us for Jesus Christ. And if we love Jesus, we will serve Him. It isn't the job that is the ministry. It's the minister and the message that is the ministry. I'll say that again. It isn't the job that is the ministry. It's the minister and the message that is the ministry. If we love Him, we will do His will. When I worked at Five Rivers Metro Parks, over around Germantown Metro Park, there is a trail that leads far into a grassy area. It's beautiful. It's not really used all that much, though. In fact, it's a hiking thing. And so a lot of times it's only a lot of avid hikers that go back there because it's really hilly, it's rocky, and it's not one of those nice trails just to walk down. Sister Judy, there is a lake back there that they dammed up the creek that flowed to that lake, so they intended that lake to grow. But they didn't really do their homework all that well because they assumed that there would be a spring that would feed that lake, and it didn't work. And so that lake became stagnant. It was gross. It was full of water, but it was dead. Green and mossy. Couldn't fish it. There wasn't anything alive in there. Until they got the water flowing again, that body of water was dead. There was no life. How do we continually have the flow of God in our lives? It is by pouring out of us, not holding it in. We quickly become stagnant in our relationship with God when we don't do anything with what God has given us. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I don't want to get on a soapbox. Let's just stand. I'll tell you what, I want to make it to heaven. Amen. I want to make it. God's promised us in His Word, though, that we can make it. I love that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to ask you this morning, are you born again? Do you have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof? Are you just religious? Do you need to be born again? We use these steps as an altar. I'm not going to drag it out this morning. I just want to ask you, you know your heart. Do you need to be born again? If so, I want you to come. Find yourself a place at the altar and let's pray. God will save you. God will save you. It's amazing to me the challenge folks will give. God can't save me, and yet they won't even try. Try Him. God can save you. The Bible says that His grace is greater than all of our sins. Hallelujah. If you need to be born again, God will save you. But maybe you've had an experience with God, but your commitment's been wavering. Maybe you hear the call of the world, or maybe just a lack of desire. You say, Brother Brian, I need a fresh commitment to Christ. You know, even in our marriages, we make a fresh commitment all the time. Commitment to love, respect. Amen. Commitment for life. This morning, church, only you can know, but I have a feeling, because I know in my own heart I have to recommit my life a lot. Just a fresh walk. If you need a fresh walk with the Lord, I want to invite you to come. And thirdly, if we need to do something, just not satisfied sitting, let's do something for the Lord. Hear the voice of God calling you this morning, asking you to serve. Tonight, there's hands in ministry practice after service. I forgot to announce that. Sister Jessica may need a few more folks here in the next few weeks that just say, I'm willing to do something. Maybe next week you weren't planning on coming out to Camp Dove. You might want to hang out with all those kids. They're loud and they get dirty. Man, that's the front lines. Where else would you rather be? Maybe you just need to say, I'll come out and I'll do whatever you need me to do. Whatever it is this morning, let's just have Christ in our hearts. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Is Christ living in your heart this morning? Because if He is, there's going to be a difference. Let's come find a place to pray this morning, church. Amen. If you need to be saved this morning, God wants to save you. Come. The altar's open. Thank you, Jesus. No matter where you are, maybe you're listening online this morning, you can be anywhere and be saved. All you have to do is call out on the name of the Lord. Confess your sins. Repent. Turn away of those things. God will save you. God is greater. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. Try God. Amen. What a Savior. What a Savior.
Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer I, Lord, but Thee. must be Jesus in me. Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer I, Lord, but Thee. Resurrection power, please fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. Be Jesus in me. No longer I, Lord, but Thee. Resurrection power, please fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer I, Lord, but Resurrection power, please fill me this hour. Jesus in me. Make me a servant, humble. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and let the prayer of